Let's begin with sharing some concerns that we may have. That means sicknesses, happy experiences. Now, this is temporary. Prayer concerns, good experiences, happy occasions. That's what, well, we're not there yet. Okay. You may. Somehow we switched a lot of stuff this week. Thank you.
Welcome and greet each other and start this off right, okay?
Greet your neighbor.
Good morning.
Hi. Hello. Welcome, welcome. I thought I kind of got out of line.
That's concerned.
We shifted everything.
It's not being pretty. It's still on the spring.
Okay. Now, are there any announcements other than the ones that are in the bulletin this morning? Okie dokie. Also, there's of course, you know, me and youth, I have to bring up the youth sponsors. Our youth are going on a mission trip in July to Puerto Rico. And we're trying to raise the money, because it's like $600 per kid. And we're trying to raise enough money through fundraisers that the kids don't actually have to really pay anything. And so they're working fundraisers. We're working hard. We've got lots planned. If you'll look in there, there's a 5K run walk. 5K is only 3.3 miles. We can do that, okay? November 17th at 8 o'clock is here in Nolensville. It's a $25 registration fee. We're trying to get as many people as we can to sign up for that. Also, if you're interested in your name being on the T-shirt that we give all the participants, there's like a $100 fee. If you've got a business or something like that, it's $100 to have your name put on the shirt that all the runners will get. You got a business, that's cheap advertising, okay? Also, we'll have your name at the registration desk. If you give it and you put it in one of the youth names that's going, that money goes totally to, that $100 goes totally to their trip, okay? So Susan and I can give you a name of, it's not just kids, we had to have one adult for five kids, so there's several adults in the congregation going too. So, if you've got an adult or a kid that you want to help donate to help them get them to Puerto Rico, then see me or Susan, and we can tell you lots of different ways you can help, because we got lots of stuff coming up. Hey, any other announcements? Operation Christmas Child. Everybody help participate with that. Okay, prayer and praise requests. Other than the ones that were mentioned earlier. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for you, Richard. Anybody else? Again, Dr. Leishner leaves. His official leave date is November 3rd. So keep him and his family in your prayers.
Who?
Dr. Leishner.
Oh.
I have an unspoken also, so if y'all will just pray for whatever it is that is on my heart right now that I don't need to talk about, but just an unspoken request.
Sam and Nancy and Kim Hardest, no, Kim Blaskoff, and others are in South America now. We kind of gave them a blessing on Wednesday night, and they're doing work, maybe tomorrow. Start working tomorrow.
Please pray for their safety and their ministry there. I'm sorry, Melanie. Safe travels. Anyone else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silence.
One first time visitor at least. Miss Vivian is back and has her sister both to the left here, your left.
Okay, welcome. We're glad you're here. Thank you. We're glad you're here. Welcome. Anyone else, first-time visitor? Okay, now, let's close our eyes, go into silent prayer as we prepare to worship God. Start with our call to worship. It's printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last.
God did not give us a spirit of timidity,
but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline.
God is love.
Whosoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him.
First hymn this morning is 529. I'm a little dyslexic. Stand with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing the first, the second, and the last.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in the sweetest thing on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one who's loved. Fill my deepest woe, who in each dark
be as we pray, as we bow. Let's think of our love for Jesus. How serious is it? Think of His love for us. We wouldn't even think about being able to love like He loves. But we can let Him love through us. Lord, we come this morning to express our love. Even coming to this place is one way that we say we love You. Giving that time that You have called for, singing songs that express our love. Lord, just being in Your presence. But Lord, we know that Your love is, oh, it's so great, beyond our comprehension, our understanding, and certainly beyond our ability to duplicate. But we do know that You have chosen to love through us. Lord, we come this morning to make ourselves available that we can love one another, that we can just be the channels of Your love going to them. But Lord, in response to Your love for each of us, we want to show, to say, and to live in a manner that would reveal that we do love You. So let Your Spirit work in us. Keep us open and responsive. And we offer this, our prayer, in the name of Jesus, that great lover of mankind, Your Son, our Savior. And we pray now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The creed this morning has changed by my choice, really, I guess. The Nicene Creed is traditionally, in some churches or some groups of churches, the creed that is used most often for the service of Holy Communion. And so we've been using the Apostles' Creed for years and years and years. And this being World Communion Sunday, and let's look at the Nicene Creed and express our faith in that way. I don't believe there will be anything in it that you would not believe. It is very similar to the Apostles' Creed.
Page 717, please join me in unison. I believe in one God
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate,
He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again. And according to the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Service where we confess our sin. A call to confession this morning. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. Psalms 37:38. Please pray with me the prayer of confession. Almighty and most
merciful
Father,
we have erred and strayed from our ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done.
And we have done those things which we ought not to have done.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy on us. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind
in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name.
Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved.
Our next song is wonderful. Calvary Covers It All, page 189, and let's do the first and the second verse.
Covers it all.
much to you as it does to me. But when I got to the part that said my past was its sin and stain, and I bet everybody here has passed with a whole lot of sin and stain. And it's so good to know that we have a God who for on Calvary covers it all. I'd like to, if I can, let's sing this chorus one more time. It's a beautiful, beautiful praise to the Lord for what He's done for us.
Calvary covers it all. My guilt and disgrace, Jesus took on Himself, and Calvary covers it all.
Would our ushers please come forward? The offertory sent us this morning, "You are worthy, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Lord God, we acknowledge that You're the giver of every good gift. We acknowledge, Lord, that You have created all of creation, all of the world, all of the universe. Lord, You spoke and it came into being. And Lord, You created us. We belong to You. And Lord, we come this morning to express that our thanksgiving for Your goodness to us, letting us live in a great world, letting us live in an existence where Calvary and Christ's death on the cross has paid the penalty that was due us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It has kind of been my practice, and I'm not sure how diligent I've been in following this practice, and not sure how diligent I will be in the future in following this practice. I'm letting today's trouble be sufficient for today, or today's situation be sufficient for today, and so I don't make any long-term promises concerning World Communion Sunday. But this is World Communion Sunday, and or it's a day when the world, or certain segments of the world, join together to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Call it either of these, or call it many other things. World Communion Sunday started in the 30s. A Presbyterian church started it and invited other groups to join them. And of course, when one church starts something, if the other church did not think about it, they won't participate. Think about it first. But others, some will. And so other churches joined together with the Presbyterians, and they began to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion on the first Sunday in October. And somewhere along the way, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church joined in, and I'm not sure where that was. It really doesn't matter, I don't think. Here we are today, and many churches around the world are at least united on this experience. But sad to say, we are so divided on some of the practices of Holy Communion. And I just visited with another church who got a new preacher, and he did communion like they had never experienced communion in that congregation. And my goodness, it caused a division. Can you believe that the Lord's Supper could cause a division? But did the Lord's Supper cause a division back in Paul's day in the Corinthian church? And that passage that we just read is Paul trying to get people to do it right, as the Lord Jesus, whose death and shedding of blood, suffering and death, it symbolizes, had instructed. So Paul said, "This is what the Lord revealed to me," and he passed it on to the Corinthians. But they had got so bad in their celebration of Holy Communion that back in the 10th chapter, I believe it was, of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, "Y'all are not celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's something else." But the way they were acting, it certainly wasn't celebrating the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know what the proper way is. I believe it would be one large loaf of bread and a common cup. But somewhere along the way, we became cautious, conscious, and probably rightly so, or disease conscious. And when I grew up, it was actually broken soda crackers, but we had individual cups. Somewhere along the way, I was in a service and we had a common cup. Now, some churches still practice this regularly. It's the only way they will observe. And they all drink from the same cup. And the celebrant will wipe the cup after each person drinks, and the next person will drink. And some people said, well, that might be a health issue. Then someone came and said, well, let's have a common cup, and let's dip the bread in the fruit of the vine, be it wine or grape juice, dip the bread. Many churches, one church, even my home church, the preacher told me one day that's the only way that he had served communion in a number of years. And that's okay with those people. And where do you get that in Scripture? I believe it's in Luke that Jesus was with the disciples and he was talking about the one who would betray him. And he says, the one that stops with me. And I believe that the one that dips his bread in the wine with me. But that was a part of the Passover. As we get to Holy Communion, we find that many, many names for Holy Communion. And you might, I've listed three here in your outline, but you may remember another name. And if I may, I will permit you or encourage you or invite you to help me preach this morning, at least in the names or the references you have used or heard used concerning Holy Communion. So I've said the sacrament, and a lot of older rural people I remember talking about the sacrament, and the early days of the church in the United States, and especially in this part of the country where the Cumberland Presbyterian got started, and some of the camp meetings that really grew out of this general area, southern Kentucky, Logan County, but there were other groups that had the camp meetings and the Brush Arbors. They would call the revival meeting, the summer revival meeting, a sacramental meeting, because they always observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and they also, at the end of the revival, they would baptize those who had professed faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it was, we'd call it a revival meeting, in my growing up days at least, but it was called, years before that, a sacramental meeting, because they always observed the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and the sacrament of baptism. Okay, do you have other words that you have used for or heard used for the Lord's Supper? Maybe if you're from a different part of the country and grew up hearing other expressions, or maybe if you came out of a different church background than a Reformed church tradition. What was it referred to? Would you like to share that? What do you remember communion being referred to? The Lord's Supper? Holy Communion? The Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, referring to the Last Supper that Jesus ate with the disciples before he was crucified. about the Eucharist? The Eucharist? A Greek word for thanksgiving. And I was a seminary student, I guess, before I had ever heard it called the Eucharist. That's pretty late for a guy that's going to be a preacher, I guess. Not really sure where I heard about it, but I wasn't, in my early days, I didn't think I was going to be a preacher. The Eucharist, the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, the sacrament, the Thanksgiving meal, because the Eucharist is, I said the Greek word for Thanksgiving. Maybe other words? Mass? From a Catholic tradition, they not refer to it as going to Mass, and communion, the Lord's Supper, is a part of Mass. Why do I celebrate the Lord's Supper? I can tell you why I do, and I hope that you'll join with me, but this is kind of a testimony, and it's based on Scripture. I celebrate the Lord's Supper because Jesus mandates it. Jesus instructs us to. I can't find where he specifically says, now observe the Lord's Supper, but he gave the bread to the disciples and said, take and eat. And then he said, whenever you observe this, do it a certain way. Didn't just point blank say, now you've got to go and participate or celebrate or observe the Lord's Supper every week or every month or every 3 months. I think the rural church, where they didn't always have a preacher every Sunday, it was often that the sacrament would be served, I think the rule said then, at least once a month. At least once a quarter. And I believe our confession of faith still encourages that, or still states that. Jesus mandated it, maybe not directly, but indirectly. And he talks about as when you meet together on the first day of the week, and some have interpreted that to be that we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And I'm not sure that they are not more correct than we are, especially if you only observe it every quarter, or maybe less often than that. But how do we feel about mandates? How do we feel about orders? How do we feel about instruction? Some of us are readily agreeable to do whatever people tell us to do. But friends, that's not me. I have a little trouble with taking instruction. It's probably a good thing, a very good thing for my sake, that I never had to go to the army, because I know there are the service, military service. And I understand that you have to take all kind of instructions that you don't want to take, and nobody really likes them. But I guess I would have taken them if I'd have been there or got thrown in jail. But it's so difficult. And my youngest child has the most difficult time following instructions, especially if they come from her father. Now, Donna Bonanza. Bondanza can tell her to do anything, and she'll do it. I can't figure that one out. But I can tell her to do the same thing, and she will. She just don't want to hear it. Maybe it's that personality conflict. But many of us have trouble, or don't take seriously when we're told or instructed to do something. And one good example of this is we'll get a new toy, maybe a new bicycle, and we will not follow the instructions till we get frustrated and get to the end of our emotional rope. And we finally, if the husband is doing it, the wife will come by and say, well, have you read the instructions? Well, no. Well, you might try them. And that illustrates, I think, and most all of us have been guilty of of not following the instructions with some kind of toy that we need to put together. And that kind of illustrates where we, most of us, feel about this. In the mandate that Jesus gave, he said that it was, the communion was in remembrance of him. And I see this, and I put that line in the outline, as a remembrance of the greatest thing ever done for you. Now, I've had some nice things done for me, and you've had some nice things done for you. Just think, I will not enumerate or list the nice things done for me. A lot more nice things done for me than unnice things. The church has been so good to me. The local church here, the church back at Madison, every church. Some of them had, there was a few rough spots, but that's part of life. Giving me an opportunity. But my parents did some wonderful things. But nothing compares to what Jesus has done for us and what he calls on us to remember in the service. It's remembering that he has provided salvation and eternal life. And that, I believe it's Psalm 37, was it Psalm 37, verse, it's in our bulletin, Psalm 37, verse 38. All sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. There won't be one. And Jesus came to our rescue. Wow! Destruction was where we were headed. Down the road to destruction. You've heard of people being on the road to destruction. And Jesus came and saved us from being destroyed. Physically, spiritually, eternally. I heard a preacher last night on television, he said, some people said he's going to get to hell and just have a big party all the time. And he reminded the listeners, it was a great crusade, and he reminded the people there and reminded those who could watch on television and gave me a little help for the sermon this morning. Won't be any celebration in hell. It'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wicked will be cut off from God and from each other. But Jesus came to redeem us, to forgive us for our wickedness. The scriptures say that it's a proclamation, proclaiming. And we think of the first Thanksgiving proclamation that the governor of the colonies gave. Or we think of a proclamation that our president gives. Important issue. But the Word says, the Scripture says, the Bible says, that when we partake of communion, we not only remember, but we proclaim. And it may be that we need to tell ourselves again. We need to proclaim to ourselves again that Jesus has done for us something greater than anyone else has ever done for us. He's provided salvation. He has rescued us from destruction. He has rescued us from being cut off from Him, from God the Father, from heaven, and all the saints who have gone before us. And it's responding. It's responding to the new covenant with God. Luke chapter 22, Jesus speaks of a new covenant. People he was raised up with, the people he was preaching to, they were bound up in the law. And the law just got out of hand. Law can get out of hand. And the priests and the Pharisees, they added to the law, and they added another little instruction to the law, and it just got to where it was not a blessing, but a curse. And it told the people all that they had done wrong. It gave them maybe no hope, but at least certainly little hope. It was one of those words that are very encouraging. Some of us preachers were talking about names of churches that we had remembered. Have you ever heard of a church? No Hope? I don't want to go to the No Hope, but you've heard of Little Hope. That may mean we've got a little hope, but it could mean that we've got just a little hope, not very much. But in Christ, we have hope of eternity. But certainly, we want some hope. New hope. Much hope. Big hope. Responding to a new covenant. But that happened when we think of Jesus' work. Covenant of grace, where somebody will take our place and die for us. And then the Apostle Paul says, you're to proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So for me, celebrating the Lord's Supper is looking forward to Jesus' return. We're looking forward to His return. What's he going to do when he comes back? Well, I don't know about the 1,000-year reign that he's going to reign over. I don't know about this kingdom that he's going to set up. It's part of the Bible. But one passage that gets my attention, he's going to come back and take us home to heaven. Take us home to heaven. Until he comes. 1 Corinthians 11:26 mentions his return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, kind of tells about him coming. It tells about him coming and calling the dead in Christ, those who died, believing in him as their Savior and Lord, calling them from the graves. We happen to be alive and remain until His coming. He'll call us up together with those who have been called from the graves, and we'll be in the presence of the Lord. And there we shall ever be. There we shall ever be. So this morning, I invite to the Lord's table, to Holy Communion, to the sacrament, to the Lord's Supper, to the Last Supper, to the Eucharist. You're invited. You who are trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. With Melanie, other active elders, if you'll lift up your hand. And I need three more. Ed, will you come and assist? Roger, will you come and assist? And I need one more. Jerry? Oh, Lewis will come. He stood up quicker than me. Okay. I'm so glad that we can come to this table this morning and just remember what Jesus has done for us. And sometimes we are forgetful. Or sometimes, well, we haven't thought about that in a while. So this gives us opportunity to really center in on what Jesus has done for us. Let us offer thanks.
the bread, a small morsel. But as you put it in your mouth, let it break. Or maybe even as you hold it in your hand, let it break. And you can remember Christ's body broken for you. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus. We were your enemies. We were separated from you. All because of our sinfulness through Adam, but our sin that we have committed. Lord, destruction, being cut off, that was our future. And you sent Jesus to rescue us. Thank you for loving us so much, and thank you for Him being willing to come and offer Himself for us. Bless this bread, Lord. Let it not escape being for us this vivid reminder how much you love us. That Christ's body was broken for us. Eat of the bread, remembering Christ's body broken for you. The cup, fruit of the vine. That's not blood. We know that. But it resembles it, and it represents it. Blood shed for the remission of sin. Stained body, soul, spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Lord God, thank you. We know that in the blood is the life. Christ gave His life on our behalf, paying our penalty. Thank you that we can remember this day. The blood of Christ shed for you. If I was a singer, I might break out in song right now and sing, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. So that's the thought that I have as I offer the sacrament to you. Eat and drink. Remember, God loves you. Thank you.
It is amazing to me that God would love us enough to give His only Son, that if we would believe in Him, He would not perish, but could have eternal life. He would give it to us. We express that through our amazement, through 202. Please stand together and let us sing. We pray, O Lord, that we might share the good news of Jesus' love, Your love through Him. And in His name, we offer our prayer and devote this service. Amen.
Well, they are studying. I want you to call her and see what she's doing. Gloria Gary. And it's this in the phone book. Let me see what this one's about. This is one. This is kind of a new one. And may have everything. He's got vital statistics in the blueprint. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. That's a message.
Think how much the Father loves us. He loves us so. Everyone who's children don't.
Thank you.